This morning, we're going to look at that story of the wise men who came from the east, and it raises a lot of questions. Just as it begins, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. It doesn't explain how they knew. It doesn't explain how many of them there were. There's a lot of questions that it raises, and yet, with all that we don't know about these wise men, what we do know about them is plenty. In fact, I think what we learn from the wise men is enough to base your entire life upon. Or at minimum, it's a good guide for this year, 2026. And so there's four lessons that we see of these wise men that we'll look at. And the first is that wise men seek God. You can apply that wise men and wise women as well. They seek God. It's interesting that these wise men, we know they were educated. They studied astrology. They knew when there was a new star. They were that, you know, discerning. They were wealthy based on the fact that they could make a long journey and they could bring these extravagant gifts. And yet, education, money, power, they were seeking God. That's wise. It is wise to seek God. And it was, for them, we know that this wasn't just an academic curiosity. They were earnest in their seeking of God. Because when they saw the star, it says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So these aren't guys that are just vaguely curious or travelers. They rejoiced when they saw the star. Even the star itself, the fact that it was guiding them. And we know how stars function in the sky. I mean, they're hundreds of millions of miles away. And yet then when they were in Jerusalem, it lit the way to Bethlehem, which is 5 miles away. So how does a star guide the way to the place where the child, that'd be like a star appearing and guiding us to a specific house in Ballycruces from here. Again, a lot of questions. And yet, what we know of them, they rejoiced as they saw where it was leading them. They were earnestly seeking, and they rejoiced with great joy when they saw where the star was leading them, because they were seeking the one who had been born King of the Jews. And this idea of seeking is so, it's all across Scripture. And it's worth spending just a minute here considering some of the places that Scripture talks about seeking God. We know maybe from Jesus' own lips in Matthew in a couple more chapters when Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount to seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things, food, clothing, it'll be added to you. You'll have what you need. So seek him. One of my favorite places in Hebrews 11:6, talking about faith, it says, now without faith, it's impossible to please God because those who would draw near to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. It's not a begrudging thing. He loves, he delights to reward those who are seeking him. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Psalm 9:10, those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Matthew 8, Jesus again, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Psalm 34 is all about seeking the Lord. I sought the Lord and he answered me, delivered me from all my distress. The young lions may grow weak and suffer hunger. Young lions, they spend almost all their waking hours looking for food. That's what they live for, and yet they get hungry. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. From our psalm we read today, that no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly, those who are walking with and in him. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This next verse, it doesn't have the word seek in it, but if I don't mention it, it's on Matt Mosher's mind, so I'm just going to go ahead and beat him there. In Daniel 10, 12, an angel comes to him and says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before God," sounds like seeking, doesn't it? "Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." From the first day you started seeking the Lord, from the first day I've heard you and I've come in response to them. And then all the way through the letters, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It's worth spending a few minutes there because wise men seek God, and all that scripture, what it reveals about seeking, God rewards those who seek him. He's never forsaken those who seek him. That leads directly into the second thing about wise men and women. Wise men study scripture. They're doing it regularly. They knew that he had been born king of the Jews. So the wise men had some Old Testament scripture. They had the prophets. Somehow they knew that he was coming. One had been promised. And they saw his star. Again, got questions about how specifically they knew these things, but they knew the scripture and they came. And so for us, we're at the start of a new year. It's a good time to evaluate some of your habits and rhythms, and good time to get focused on a regular diet of scripture, whatever the plan is. And I would say whatever, there's so many good reading plans out there, but any of them, as long as you are reading, getting into the word, reading it as daily bread, coming to it, and I would encourage you too, with other people who are on your same reading track, reading plan, so that you can be interacting with them through the week of like, did you see that? And I've never noticed that before. What do you think about this? It is going to be so good for you if you have a regular habit of reading with other people that you can be sharing with. I thought about it. I don't think I've ever met a mature, fruitful, spiritually discerning person who isn't regularly in scripture, memorizing it, reading it, meditating on it. And that's no coincidence. It's essential for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So wise men, they seek God, they study scripture. There's no substitute for God's word, this bread that we cannot live without. So those are two things, two characteristics of the wise men. They sought God, they studied scripture, and then wise men worship Jesus. When they came to him, they had these gifts. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So that they had, these were diplomatic people. They understood the ways of the world. When they came into this area, they stopped by Herod because he's the ruler of that region. So they knew how to function diplomatically. But that is not what diplomacy sounds like or what duty sounds like. That is just delight. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They worshiped this son who was given. And they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures. They offered him gifts. Again, worship. They're sacrificing. They're giving to him gold and frankincense and myrrh, which even their gifts indicate they understood who he was. Because gold is a gift that you give to a king. Frankincense is what priests would use. It's an incense. And then myrrh is used for embalming. So they understood that this king had come to give his life for the world. He was a priest. He was king. And he wasn't a king in waiting. It wasn't once he grows up, he'll become a king, but they worshiped him as king as he was born. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. They worshiped the King Jesus. And it's fascinating that these men, they had wealth, they had education, and they came seeking God, and they They wanted to behold the son that had been promised. Extensive journey, lots of dangers on the way. It's not a safe time to be traveling and, you know, all these things. And yet they risk all of that to come because they want to see the promised one. And our greatest joy comes from beholding the glory of God in the face of Christ. And here it is, these men who were foreigners, and they came, and that's what they experienced. They worshiped him. George Herbert has a poem in which he's based it on Matthew 13, the parable that Jesus tells about the man who found a treasure in a field and in his joy sold everything and went and bought that field. So we know something about that man. He had some means. He wasn't destitute. If he had the ability to put some things together, sell it, and buy land. But George Herbert was reflecting on that poem, the man who gladly gave that all up in order to have the treasure of knowing Christ. And he wrote this poem, and he said, "I know the ways of learning, both the head and the pipes that feed the press and make it run. I know the ways of honor, what maintains the quick returns of courtesy and wit. I know the ways of pleasure, the sweet strains, the lullings, and the relishes of it." So like the wise men, learning, honor, pleasure, all these different things. "I know all these and have them in my hand. Therefore, not sealed, but with open eyes, I fly to thee and fully understand both the mainsail and the commodities, and at what rate and price I have thy love." In other words, he had found at last his satisfaction and rest in Christ, not because he didn't have any other alternatives. He had them. He knew what it was like to be, have the education, to have honor, to have pleasure. He knew those things, and he found that they were not enough. He gladly let go of those that he might have Christ. And that's what we see in these wise men. They had education. They had wealth. They had all these things. And they came to worship the Son of God. They knew that that's the only one that can fully satisfy, that we were made for life in him, worshiping him. And so wise men and women worship Jesus. He's the only thing that can make our immortal souls happy. These other things are fleeting. They are temporary. They are transient. The best things this world has to offer, they cannot satisfy, but Jesus can. That's what we learn as well from the wise men. They came to worship him. And then wise men obey the will of God. When they were leaving, verse 12, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. They departed to their own country by another way. So here God's giving them specific instructions. You know, Herod said, "Come back to me, tell me where this child is so I can go and worship him as well." But they were warned in a dream and they didn't go. But Herod's the kind of guy who has eyes everywhere, right? He's got people. So that was a risky thing for them to depart. They had quite an entourage and they leave. And they went another way because that's what God had told them to do, and they obeyed. Didn't try to explain it away, didn't try to come up with anything. They just obeyed what God had told them to do. When God revealed something, the wise men responded. They obeyed. And when we think about that, the law of the Lord, it says, it's the law that gives liberty. Following the Lord, knowing his word, obeying him is what gives us freedom. So for us, the lessons of the wise men, the characteristics: seek God, study his word, worship Jesus. And even as we worship him, sometimes we're aware of the fact that our affections aren't rightly ordered. We don't fully embrace. We've still got these encumbrances and things that we are seeking our good in them too much. So even in that, ask his help to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's a prayer that he will honor. He will help us to worship him. And fourth, obey the will of God. When God gives you instruction, obey it. Respond with, "Yes, Lord." You'll see above the soundboard there is a painting that Richard Hines did of the wise men. And we kind of moved the cords around. Be careful. But when you get a chance, go and look at that. The camels, if you'll notice, the saddles are empty. They don't have riders on them. And that's the invitation. It means it's your turn to come and see. So our Father in heaven, we pray that we would apply these lessons of the wise men, that we might seek you, study your word, find you, worship you. Lord, we know there is no good apart from you, but thank you that we don't have to live apart from you. We thank you for Jesus, Emmanuel. We thank you for making him known, that we too might behold the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen.